Hey friends, welcome to the Make Life Matter podcast. I'm Angela Donadio, and each week I share compelling conversations with leading voices. They encourage us to ground our worth in the word instead of the narrative of the world. Together, we'll make our lives matter no matter what. Here's this week's episode. Hey guys, Dale and I just returned from walking in Paul's journeys all through Greece and Turkey. And I'm sharing one of the most impactful moments here today on the podcast. Do you ever feel unsure of God's call on your life? Or maybe you feel unsettled by what you see around you? Well, few people understand these emotions more than Priscilla. I recently walked in her shoes through Greece and Turkey. And together, we're going to discover a few things about her today. First, how Priscilla encourages us to love without limits and embrace God's call on our lives. We're going to look at how a story that I'm going to share makes all the difference in a passage from Scripture that's often misunderstood. And then I'm going to give you five key questions to ask to protect God's call on your life. It is one thing to write about these moments in Scripture, as I have in my Bible study, Fearless, but it is another thing to walk in their shoes and live their stories. This is my first time to Greece, and walking through Corinth and Ephesus were moments I will never forget. Priscilla is one of my heroes in the Bible, and you will love her story. So much so, I want you to have the chapter from Fearless for free. So head over to angeladonadio.com/fearless and download the last session of Fearless all about Priscilla as my gift. You can also stay right on there and get Fearless on sale while you're on my website. Well, recently on my social media channels, I shared a portion of this story, and I'm going to deep dive a little bit more with you today. Follow me. I walked into the ancient city of Corinth, and my eyes scanned the few remaining ruins of what was once a bustling metropolitan first century city. I just saw a few columns that remained from the temple to Apollos. Then there was the Bema seat where Paul stood and defended his right to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we walked the forum where Priscilla's store once stood. In fact, it might have been the very place that we took a picture in front of an arch. But I'm walking around and I'm thinking, where is the behemoth, this temple of Aphrodite, where it was known that 1,000 temple priestess prostitutes, many were sex slaves, worked around the clock in temple-run brothels to this goddess? Well, I called out to our gracious and very knowledgeable tour guide, Aliki. Where is this temple to Aphrodite? Way up there, she pointed to the top of a hill. Tourists can visit, but they have to drive about an hour up switchbacks and then another hour on foot, and we won't be traveling there today. So here I am standing on these dusty streets in the once crowded city square of this port city, and I was confused. So Aliki, did the sailors and men walk all the way up there from here to visit a brothel? Sometimes, Aliki responded. But the girls and young boys would walk from the hill down here. Their heads were shaved, so everyone knew that they were a sex slave. And as they walked, the bottom of their sandals made an imprint in the ground. Follow me. My gaze instinctively drifted to the ground in front of me, and my eyes filled with tears. A couple days later, this moment was still fresh in my mind, and we were now walking through the massive ruins of Ephesus, where Paul and Priscilla and Aquila continued their spread of the gospel amid persecution and immense challenges. Dale actually preached in the amphitheater that still holds 25,000 people, the very place where Paul taught and preached, and where most scholars believed Priscilla and Aquila risked their lives for him and ran in that amphitheater when a riot had started up against Paul and the ministry that he was doing there in this city. Well, there as we walked these streets, carved into stone was a footprint next to a broken heart. This time a new guide, a Turkish guide from Ephesus, began to explain this footprint marked many pleasure houses where sex slaves worked in Ephesus. She just kind of said it very matter of fact while my heart was throbbing in my ears. I looked down at the footprint and I remembered the words that Aliki shared in Corinth, follow me. The very words that Paul would use in his letter to the Corinthians years later, follow me as I follow Christ. And then Jesus himself would use those same very words that would be so well known by the first century church to call his disciples, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Paul and Jesus knew how important these phrases were in this culture and what they meant. And yet they gave them completely new meaning. You don't have to follow the way of the world. You can follow a different path and your life will have purpose and meaning and it will be full and abundant. That's the message that Christ came to share. And that's what salvation does. It gives us a completely new life. And Paul says to his church that he loved, that was planted because of his visit to Corinth, listen, follow my example. Follow the way that I am imitating Christ. And then as you study this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you find something that is really misunderstood in the body of Christ. It's sometimes poorly taught. It's poorly interpreted. And being there in Corinth with Aliki, helping us to unpack this scripture, it gave completely fresh eyes on a passage that I knew had been misinterpreted, but I had really never seen it fully in the light that she described for us. So in this same passage where Paul says, listen, follow my example as I follow Christ, you go down a few more verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and he says, listen, I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head is the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should cover her head. Okay, so we're going to look at this passage. Now, I could spend hours on this, but I want to just focus in, and maybe you caught it already, that Paul is saying, listen, I want the women to cover their heads when they're in church. So I want you to imagine this ancient city where a lot of women were becoming converts to Christianity, and they were had just been serving as prostitutes in a temple that was dedicated to the goddess Aphrodite. So as they came to church, it would be obvious to everyone who knew that their head was shaved, that they were a sex slave, that they were a loose woman, that they were available for men, as opposed to a woman who covered their head, and that would represent that she was married, in a relationship. And so what Paul is actually doing here is not devaluing women. He's not saying, I want you all having your heads covered. I don't want you to have any role or any position or any authority, because we see over and over in the New Testament through both the life of Jesus and Paul that Paul and Jesus elevated women. And just the life of Priscilla alone shows us the value that Paul placed on women in ministry. She was a co-laborer. She and her husband hosted the church in their home. She trained and mentored Apollos. She came alongside of Timothy. I mean, she was a force in the New Testament church. She was a force. And so if you look at this picture of what Paul is trying to say in 1 Corinthians 11 in context, he's basically saying, listen, when women come to church, I want them to have their head covered so that everybody is on equal footing. When you come into church, it's not about looking around to see who's available, who's a sex object, but I want women to be valued, and I want a church setting to be a place where everyone is welcome, everyone is equal, and their head shaved would have been an immediate sign that they belong to a brothel. And so Paul is saying, when you're here, I want you to all cover your head. And the same with the men. He's saying, I want them to not cover their head. So there's so much contextually going on here that you won't understand if you don't know what happened in the culture. And when you're interpreting scripture, it's so crucial to think and understand, how would this have been interpreted by the immediate audience who it was written to? What did it mean to them? And we have to start there. And then we say, what principle is being applied in our culture today? And the principle is not the practical step of women have to cover their head when they go into a church, but it's women have value in a church. I want everyone, no matter their race, their ethnicity, their background, their past, what's been done to them, what they might have been known for in the community, when they come to church, they should be accepted, they should be welcomed, and they should have equal standing in the body of Christ. And that is a beautiful picture of the equality that Christ came to not only die for and demonstrate, but to say, listen, we are all welcome in the body of Christ. Our voice matters. Our call matters. What we do for the kingdom of God matters. It may be different from one another, but we don't compete and we don't compare. We just simply obey what the Lord tells us to do. So what a beautiful picture of thinking about, oh my goodness, these young girls, these young boys who would have their heads shaved would now come into a church. They would now come into the body of Christ. And Paul is saying, I want everyone to be welcome. And so what do we do with this? We say, okay, I'm going to follow that example as Paul was following Christ. In just this one example, how can we elevate and give dignity to everyone that we meet to say, listen, you were created in the image of God. You may not know him yet, but he died for you. He loves you. He wants a relationship with you. And the way that we treat people, the way that we honor them, even if we disagree with them, makes such a difference as to whether or not they want to even be interested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this story was so impactful for me. And I hope that just sharing that little bit about this story helps you to understand a passage that, and there's so much more, guys, there's so much more written about this. I'm just giving you a little taste of how understanding the context makes such a difference in understanding a particular passage. So I want to talk a little bit more about Priscilla and her call. And I also want to mention before I do that, that Matthew chapter 4 is where you see Jesus use those same words, that phrase, follow me. And it says in Matthew 4, chapter 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Again, people that would not have been at the top of the list to be disciples, to be tutored by a rabbi, to be leading the first century church. But this is who God is. He calls those that we would not expect to be called. He loves everyone, and he wants everyone to have a relationship with him. And when we come to him, he changes us from the inside out. And that's what we see that happened in the lives of Peter and Andrew. And he says to them in verse 19, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. I will give you a new call at your life. And look at this in verse 20. At once they left their nets and followed him. This is the obedience that God wants from us, guys. And I know it's hard. I know sometimes we feel uncertain about our call. I know we can look at our circumstances around us, just like Peter and Andrew must have done. And most certainly, Paul and Priscilla did, as they walked into these cities with massive temples dedicated to Apollos, to Aphrodite, to Athena in Athens, to Artemis in Ephesus. And yet they moved forward in their call and in the call of the gospel. When you look at the life of Priscilla, I'm going to share just a little bit from her chapter as we wrap up today. God interrupted her ordinary routine in the most extraordinary of ways. She and Aquila discerned the obvious when they moved into Corinth, that God had used the cruel mandate of a wicked leader in Rome to get them exactly where God wanted them. And for nearly 18 months, their home served as a haven for Paul and a meeting place for the church that grew under his leadership. And when he arrived in Corinth, he was discouraged in his call to ministry. And yet he met these ministry partners. They were all tent makers, so it's likely they met there maybe at that store that I was standing in front of. And they formed relationship together. And these three co-laborers rallied around the same cause to get the gospel to Corinth. And this was not a modest vision, considering this city of over 500,000 people, one of the greatest cities in the Roman Empire, was also one of the most corrupt on the planet. And we've talked a little bit about that in just what you see as the culture of this temple and the brothels and the immorality that was rampant in Corinth. It was strategically located on a thin strip of land between the Mediterranean and the Aegean Seas, and Corinth served as a major trade route and a home to a mixed population of Romans and Greeks and Jews. It was a melting pot of Greek mythology, rampant cult activity, and unbridled immorality. In fact, the Greeks created the words, which I'm going to probably not say it right in Greek, but Corinthiazethiai, which means to live like a Corinthian. And that represented someone who was completely morally bankrupt. Corinth housed the temple of Aphrodite, which again, I've shared here, had these basically temple-run brothels, and people would basically engage in sexual activity all around the temple in hopes of gaining favor from the goddess. Some of the girls were no more than 12 years of age, and they were purchased by status-seeking Greek athletes, and they were offered to Aphrodite as sex slaves. And it was a port city. A lot of sailors came there. It was known for this. Then there was a temple of Poseidon where they held the Isthmian Games, and they believed that he ruled the seas and commerce, which was so crucial for them. And there were so many vile things that were done there to appease him. And the people were there were so confused. They even had a temple that they called Pantheon to all the gods. They had Roman cults to Isis. I mean, guys, it went on and on and on. There was a shrine dedicated to Asclepius, which was their god of healing, and his daughter Hygieia, if you've ever studied Greek mythology. And sick people would come from everywhere, and they would stand and pray in front of these clay replicas of body parts hung around the temple. And when we first went into Corinth, we went to like a small museum. Guys, it had these replicas that they have excavated. Body parts, clay body parts made like in the shapes of hands and feet and ears and even their pets. And they would hang these body parts in these temples, and they would go stand in front of them and pray that this god Asclepius would heal them. And then Paul wrote to those very people in Corinth, listen, we are all one body. We are not parts. Every part matters. Every part is equal. The hand can't say to the ear, I don't need you. The foot can't say to another body part, I'm more important than you. He used the very things that they would have known, that they would have seen in their culture. And I'll use kind of a theological term here because it's something that we need to be doing better. And Priscilla was a master at it. Paul was a master at it. Of course, Jesus was a master at it. And this is contextualizing the gospel. This is taking the gospel into an area, realizing what does this people group believe? What's going on in this area? And not just burning a bridge, but building a bridge and saying, you know, in Athens, for example, Paul said, I see that you have all of these gods. You're obviously religious people. We walked around anywhere you stood, you can see the temple to Athena. You can see all of these, you know, ruins of these statues. It would have been everywhere. So Paul says, listen, I can see your religious people. You even have an altar built to the unknown God, just to make sure you cover all your bases. But then he begins to build a bridge and say, there is a God you can know. And listen, guys, this is what we need to be doing in our culture, to say, what do you believe? What are you buying into? What are you following? What's beckoning you? Follow me. Are you truly following the real, an authentic way, not only to a purpose-filled life, but to heaven, because that only comes through Jesus Christ. God wants us to love our culture, not just to sit around and criticize it. And I know what we see around us can be unsettling. I know it can make us sometimes be quiet in our call or unsure, but we don't have to live that way. And we see examples all over the New Testament, especially in people like Priscilla and Aquila. In them, Paul found business partners, ministry co-laborers, and the truest of friends. They stayed loyal to him through his constant travels. They assisted him in his times of need. They loved him through excruciating bouts of loneliness. And Priscilla did not have it all figured out when Paul showed up at their door in Corinth. But what she did have was a cause, and that was the gospel. Guys, we don't have to have it all figured out. But our cause is the gospel. And if we ask God, how do you want to open a door? How do you want me to move the gospel forward in my culture? How can I take the message of the gospel and reach the people in my community? See, Priscilla was undaunted by the arduous terrain in front of her. She stood up for the gospel everywhere she went, because more than anything, she wanted God to use her. She and Aquila became one of the strongest influences on the Apostle Paul. So we have proof of their investment as they sought to change what it meant to be called a Corinthian, because the New Testament contains 13 books by Paul, and the longest is his combined letter to the Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It stands as a testament to the tough task taken on by these biblical, what I call superheroes, but they were just ordinary people. Paul, Priscilla, Aquila, other people that traveled with him, like Barnabas and Saul and Timothy, and we were walking in their footprints. Paul addresses key issues in the first century church that are just as prevalent today. Look at his first few words of the church that they planted in Corinth. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ, Jesus, and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you don't lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end. Listen, that's a word for us today. So that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a powerful passage. It just reminds us, as we look around in our own culture, as we might feel unsure about our own call, as we might feel unsettled about what's happening around us, sometimes we pray until we think our hearts might just break, only to find ourselves facing what might seem like an insurmountable task in front of us. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us or we've somehow veered off disastrously off course. God is not unkind. He's intentional. They did not expect to end up in Corinth, but God led them there, and it resulted in a relationship with Paul and the furtherance of the gospel all throughout the New Testament. We don't always see how God is going to use the worst of circumstances to bring out the best in us. Sometimes we're blind to the way that God orchestrates events to ensure that we land smack dab in the middle of his will. And he strategically places us and meticulously shapes us for what will bring maximum kingdom impact. And listen, your obedience will determine your influence. Priscilla let God shape her character because she cared more about calling than comfort. She's not a fictional crusader splashed across the pages of a comic book, brought to life by someone's imagination. She might sound like a superhero, but she's a real, ordinary woman made extraordinary by her faith in God. Following God's call is not always easy. It's going to require a sacrifice. It will exact a cost in our life. The excitement of the honeymoon phase of our calling can fade when turbulence hits, when things get difficult. We can navigate the normal process of growth pains by making necessary adjustments, maintaining a healthy attitude, and relying completely on the Holy Spirit for direction. Sometimes adversity or failure is a signpost to change directions, and other times it's a marker to stay the course. We only know the difference between open and closed doors in our calling and following God and following his call on our life through dependence on God. Once we begin to pursue our calling, we need to protect it. We need to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received, to quote another passage from Paul, by guarding the call of God on our life with intention. So as you prioritize God's call on your life, you need to protect your calling. So we can identify ways to do that by asking 5 key questions. First, am I consistently spending time in prayer and the study of God's word? Listen, that's where we know who God is and we know his heart for our life. That's where our calling is birthed. What do you want me to do, God? Who do you want me to be? So that's the first question. Am I consistently spending time in prayer and in the study of God's word? Second question to ask, is there a good that I need to let go of to make room for God's best? Is there a good thing in your life that you might need to let go of to make room for God's best. I'm walking through this in my own life right now, reprioritizing to protect God's best in my life. Things can be good, but they may not be God's best. So that's the second question to ask yourself as you're following, practicing, pursuing God's call. Third, what can I do that no one else can do? What can I do that no one else can do? You know, you see in Paul's life and Priscilla, this is a team. They collaborated. They did kingdom work together. Maybe there's people to bring around you, and other people can do parts of the ministry or the passion that God has in your heart. Maybe it's not all for you to do. Are there people around you that maybe he wants in your circle? Because kingdom is done best in community, not in individual silos. So what can you do that no one else can do? And who can you bring around you to do ministry and community? Fourth, where do you sense God's favor? Where is God's favor on your life? Because that's where you need to lean into. That's where he's shining and illuminating. Hey, this is where my grace is on you right now in this season. That can change from time to time, but there may be something right now that he wants you to do, maybe to let go of, maybe to shift, maybe to move into something different. But ask God, where is your favor on my life right now? Where is your grace present in my life? And then finally, the last question that I want to leave you with is, you're desiring to follow God's call and desiring to protect his call on your life. We don't need to be unsure. We don't need to be unsettled. We need to move forward in what he's asking us to do, trusting God in community and knowing he's going to sustain us. So that final question is, what do I need to learn in this short season so that I can sustain for the long haul? What do I need to learn in this short season so that I can sustain for the long haul? So if you're feeling unsure of God's call on your life, I pray this episode has helped you and encouraged you. I would love for you to download this free chapter on Priscilla, because you're going to deep dive in more into how she learned how to love her culture and to care for her culture more than criticize it. You're going to see these kingdom relationships that I was talking about with Apollos and Timothy and Priscilla and Aquila and Paul, and how they went further in community than they could have ever done by themselves. So go get that free chapter for yourself. And I also share more about pursuing our calling, practicing our calling, protecting our calling than what I'm sharing here right now. And then you can buy the book Fearless, the Bible study Fearless that I wrote, on sale right now, and get the entire study where I look at 6 different women of the Bible, ordinary women, but they dare to do extraordinary things. So I pray that as you've been listening today, that you can see how Priscilla's life encourages us to love without limits, to love people where they're at, to ask God to help you build a bridge instead of to burn one. Listen, I've been there, guys. I've done it wrong so many times. But in this day and age, we need to be looking for God's heart for how we can reach the lost and reach people with the gospel. And how Priscilla encourages us to embrace God's call in our life, not to be afraid of it. Don't run from it. Maybe we need to learn. Maybe we need to put someone around us that can help us, but embrace it, because God's call on your life is going to be where you're going to be most fulfilled and you're going to have the most impact and influence for the kingdom. And I hope you see how this story of walking through Priscilla's shoes and literally her footprints through Corinth and Ephesus helps us to understand a key passage in 1 Corinthians 11 that's so often misunderstood, but it's God's heart that all are welcome in his kingdom. He does the heart work. He changes us from the inside out, but we want everyone to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and all of us matter in the kingdom. There are no small parts. So we all have a part and a role to play in the kingdom of God. And then finally, these key questions to ask to protect God's call on your life. Maybe write those questions down on a 3x5 card or in your prayer journal. Ask God to help you as you're reflecting this week. And just know that I'm praying for you. I'm here to encourage you not only to engage in God's word, but to embrace God's call on your life and to experience his heart for missions. And I want to leave you with an opportunity to partner with me. I wish I could tell you right now that sex slavery died out with Greek mythology and the ruins of those cities that I walked through. But sadly, Sex slavery and human trafficking is very much alive in our culture today around the world. It's one of the biggest challenges and human rights issues that we face in our time today. And in August, I'll be traveling to Thailand. I'll be leading a team of other women, and we'll be going for the World Sealed Summit that is going to be focusing and highlighting this much needed cause of human and sex slavery and trafficking. I believe that we can see the end of it in our lifetime. And so I would love to invite you to partner with Experiencing God's Heart for Missions, seeing that we follow Him and that every woman, maybe they don't have these young girls or lady boys in the city of Bangkok where I will be. They may not physically have the words "follow me" written on their shoes in Greek writing anymore, but that's what their life is day in and day out. We want to extend the same invitation that Paul and Priscilla extended in that city of Corinth and Ephesus. Listen, you can have a different life. You can follow Christ, and He will change you from the inside out. That's the same God that we're serving today. And so would you just pray for me as we lead this team and we partner with international teams from all over the world? I'll be speaking there in Bangkok. I'll be helping women there know how they can share their story through books. And there's so much on my heart that I know God is going to do and just plant some seeds. So if you want to be a part of this trip, you can head over to angeladonatio.com and you can make a donation. And I'll be sharing that with the four people going from our team over to Thailand in August. So while you're at my website, I want you to download that free chapter. I want you to read and dig into Priscilla's story. I promise you it will bless you. Go ahead and get a copy of Fearless while it's on sale right now. And there's a companion video guide that's free for you there as well. And then if you feel led and the Lord prompts your heart, make a donation for Thailand. And if that's not something you can do right now, I just ask you commit to pray for us and pray that we would help people to follow Christ, and that we would live a life worthy of the calling. That's my prayer for you today, that you would know the God that called you, that loves you, that has a plan for your life, and that you would know that He wants to use you, that you matter, your call matters. And I thank you for spending this time with me, guys. I appreciate you. And if you want to see more of the pictures from my trip, make sure you join my email community at angeladonatio.com. And you'll get monthly emails where I share a little bit more and share some pictures, or follow me on social media. Both of those places are communities where I hang out, and I'd love to see you there. So I pray for you this week. Keep making your life matter for the kingdom. You are loved. And until next time, make your life matter. Thanks for joining the conversation. If you've been inspired to make life matter, share a review and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Connect with me at angeladonatio.com, Facebook at angeladonatiovov, and Instagram at angeladonatio. Until next week, let's make life matter.